and a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscarora Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on a TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Sunday afternoon. Another special edition, NBA Finals edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And as always, you can call into the show. This is broadcasting live from the WMFO studios in Medford, Massachusetts. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO in Medford. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show. So I am going to talk about the Celtics to start the show, but there's an interesting thought that I have that I had this morning, and I said, you know, today would be a good day to have this kind of conversation. And I figured that a conversation that needs to be had as it pertains to the Boston Celtics. And the question I'm going to pose to you, Celtic fans, is this. What is one characteristic in this Celtics team that you have seen throughout this playoff run up until now, with Game 5 tomorrow night, that worries you the most? We kind of touched on it yesterday, but I figured that this first segment of the show would be a perfect opportunity to discuss it even more with you, the listener. And for me, the trait that concerns me the most with the Boston Celtics is their lack of will and ability to finish and close out when they have the chance. There's multi-layers to this. And when I say the lack of will, yes, the Celtics have shown a tremendous amount of will during these playoffs so far. But when they have the opportunity to really clamp down on their opponent, whether if it's Brooklyn, Milwaukee, or Miami, and I'm just using the teams that they face so far, but Brooklyn doesn't necessarily apply to, but in terms of Miami, in terms of Milwaukee, when they've had a chance to really put their foot down on the neck of their opponent, they don't do so. Why is that? Why? And I think it's a multitude of reasons. But for me, the biggest issue that I have is there just seems to be, whenever that there's some air let out of the balloon in terms of pressure, it's like they just have this letdown. I'll give you an actual example. Go back to the Milwaukee series against the Bucks. They faced the must-win game 4 in Milwaukee. Al Horford has that amazing game. They tie up the series at 2. They return back home to Boston with an opportunity to go up 3-2 in the series. And what happens? The Milwaukee Bucks come out and steal a big win on the road in Game 5, and they have an opportunity to win the series at home in Game 6. The Celtics play their 2 best games of that series in Game 6, and eventually in a clincher in Game 7, where they blow out the Milwaukee Bucks at home to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And you look at the Miami series. Miami, they have an opportunity to go to the NBA Finals. Miami had an opportunity to push the pushback against the Celtics. They didn't take advantage of the opportunity. The Celtics had a chance to make things easy for themselves. They could have won and should have won Game 1 on the road. But they had that horrific third quarter that cost them the game. They won Game 2. And in Game 3, they absolutely lay down a clunker. A big pile of turd on the Lucky logo on the park at the Garden. But then they bounce back and win Game 4. And then they win Game 5. They have an opportunity to close out at home. Again, can't close out at home. So what I'm saying is that whenever this team has the opportunity to close out a series or to really put their foot on the neck of their opponent, it's like, we can do this later. Oh, man, we're just going to toy with you. We're going to, you know, take our foot off the gas a little bit. It drives me nuts. See, in sports, you don't get too many opportunities to win an NBA championship. You don't get too many opportunities to put the foot on the throat of a Goliath, especially when you're David. You get one shot at this. And at some point, those opportunities are going to run out. They are going to disappear. And they are going to possibly bite you in the ass if you are absolutely not careful with the beast that you're waking up. And I think game four was so important. And I talked about it yesterday on yesterday's show. And if you missed yesterday's show, you can listen to it on demand on the Shuker Writes podcast on iHeartRadio and all major podcast platforms. But I talked about it in yesterday's show. The Warriors are a team that you just cannot afford to allow to wake up. Steph Curry right now is carrying the Warriors offensively. They are. Because Klay Thompson hasn't even gotten going offensively yet. Game four on Friday night was the opportunity for the Celtics to go up 3-1. And they just didn't finish the job at home. They were up by 6. They were up 91-85. And we all remember, because we talked about the sequence during the last 7 minutes and 32 seconds of the fourth quarter and game 4. They could not close it out. Why? You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of when you finally get to that deadline of when you're in high school or you're in college and you got a term paper that you got to submit. And you're like, uh-oh, we got to get this done or this is going to really make me fail the course. You submit it in, you get that A+, whatever. And then after that, there's that period of letdown. Like, okay, I don't have to bust my chomps anymore. At least I don't have to bust my chomps for the time being. And therefore, we're just going to take it easy. We're just going to coast. The Boston Celtics right now are like the college student who finally performs well in pressure situations and they finally let themselves down off the hook, off the desperation mode that they got to get it done and then worry about coasting afterwards towards whenever the next deadline is. And that is a recipe for disaster. The only difference is, any college students, if you're listening, and if any of you who are listening who've been to college, you understand. I, for one, was the worst procrastinator, but I did my best work when it was close to deadline. Honestly and truthfully, my professors can attest to that. I did my best work when I knew that it had to get done within like the next 2 to 3 days before when it was due. But in sports, when you got a championship on the line, the difference is that you may not get a second chance. Similar to college, you may or may not get that second chance depending on how strict your professor was. But the professor is the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the NBA championship. And if you're the Boston Celtics, this, I think what they got, and I'm just saying this, and I'm just thinking, I think the best characterization I can give the Celtics right now, they love to procrastinate. The Boston Celtics are the master procrastinator. They will do well when they have to do well, but they'll take the foot off the gas when they feel that they have a little bit of breathing room. That's exactly what the Boston Celtics are right now and what they've been this entire postseason run. The master procrastinator, we've all been there, whether if it's middle school, but especially starting in high school and you're getting ready for college, college, if you went to college, undergrad, or even if you did your master's. But I'm sure your master's, you don't even have room to pull off a bunch of crap like that. You just don't. But especially if you're an undergrad, when you knew that you did your best work when you had to get it done, you did pretty well. I personally did. That was me. That was my track record. But it's maddening for the Boston Celtics because you wonder, with everything that has gone on with this team this year and how much growing that they've had to do, you wondered, how much did they truly grow up? And that's one of the reasons why I felt as if that this was a team that was going to have a big litmus test on Friday night. And unfortunately, they failed. They failed that test. You're up by 6 with 7.5 remaining against the Warriors, in which they are gasping for air at this point. Momentum on the side of the Celtics. And you're just like, you know what? We're just going to take the foot off the gas. Missed shots, two three-pointers in the remainder of the 7.5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, and you lose. And you lose. And this is the kind of thing where in sports, I am a firm believer that it can come back and bite you in the ass, and it sucks because the Celtics, I think everybody could agree that the Celtics, by a slim hair, they are the better team when they're focused and engaged. But my gosh, this whole procrastinating thing with the Celtics that they got going on, where it just seems like, we'll turn on the heat when we have to turn on the heat, is the singular most maddening trait that this Boston Celtics team has. Like, I don't get it. I truly don't understand. You want to talk about being taken on a roller coaster ride? And maybe, just maybe, if the Celtics win tomorrow night, Game 6 is in fact Thursday regardless, they win tomorrow night in Game 5, they come out to Boston for Game 6, and if they win their NBA championship on Thursday night, man, let me tell you something. All of this will be forgotten. It'll be a moot point until the summer comes along, and there's nothing really talking about, because at that point, the Celtics will have already made whatever moves they need to make, and this will be a talking point again. Procrastination. But, man, let me tell you something. My heart can't take it no more. My heart can't take it no more. With the massive procrastinators that the Boston Celtics are, it is so frustrating. But that's where I am now with this team. Like, I expect this team to come out and play with an air of desperation. They had a horrible game four in the fourth quarter, and game five on the road, and they showed that they can do it already in San Francisco. I expect them to pull out another big win on the road in game five, and maybe, just maybe, wrap it up in game six, which will be on Thursday here in Boston. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. It is a Sunday afternoon. I'm glad that you are able to tune into the program. It is appreciated as always. It's June 12th, and it's amazing to even be sitting here talking Boston Celtics basketball in the NBA Finals. It just is. Considering where we were back in January, and here we are. Here we are. Now the NBA Finals are best of three, and we are about to find out in very short order, over the course of the next 7 days, potentially, who will be the 2022 NBA champions. It's going to be a lot of fun, you ladies and gentlemen, and whatever pronoun you may use to describe yourself. We shall see. Coming up next, something's up with Jason Tatum. We got to talk about Jason Tatum because it's starting to really worry me. And at this point, it's become too much to ignore. So I want to give you exactly my thoughts as to what is going on with Jason Tatum. That and much more, and your phone calls coming up next on the other side of this music break. This is Shuki Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tusk Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana. I know that it's too soon, but it's the final test. 'Cause playing all these games, just a time to waste. As soon as I met you, I'll begin to fade. So let me kiss you now and I'll fade away. You say you should be free, I know you said that once. Just tell me it'd be me if you ever break that thought. 'Cause I like you, yeah, I like you, so I wrote this song. Now let me know that I will move along.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... Poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, as I will be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. I don't think I mentioned that at all in the first segment, but I got a reminder saying that, hey, you probably should let them know like how long you're going to be on the air for. So I'll be on the air for another half hour to talk some Celtics. We talked about the one trait that worries me the most about this Celtics team right now. And I'm going to focus on one specific Celtics player that really has, I feel like in a way, in more ways than one, he has really been disappointing so far in these NBA finals. And that is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, as much as we talk about the Tatum and the Browns and the duo, the dynamic duo that they are, Jason Tatum has been very disappointing in these NBA finals. Earlier today, I was doing some listening to the radio, and one of the things that came up was the fact that Jason Tatum, when shooting inside of the three-point arc, not from the three-point arc, but inside like the mid-range jump shot, he's shooting just above 20% during this series. From three-point range, he's been okay. He's shooting a little north of 30%. He's been okay. Not great, but he's been okay. And when I heard this, I couldn't help but to think to myself and wonder, is he okay? Because he hasn't looked right since the beginning of the Miami Heat series in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I just wonder now, as we are getting deeper into the NBA Finals, there are at least two games left, maybe three if there is a Game 7 in this NBA season. We're now in the home stretch for the championship. And if you've been watching Jason Tatum during this series and you've been watching closely how he has played, Jason Tatum has not looked like himself. Jason Tatum has looked pretty much like a shell of himself in comparison to how he played in the first round against Brooklyn. If you have any thoughts on what I'm saying or what I'm talking about in terms of Jason Tatum or in the Celtics in the finals so far, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to share with me your thoughts. But with all of that being said, I think it's time to ring the alarm. Ring the alarm for Jason Tatum, because there is something very much wrong with him. Jason Tatum has not looked like Jason Tatum. To this point, Jaylen Brown has actually had a better NBA Finals than Jason Tatum. Even though Jaylen Brown was part of the disappearing act for the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter of Game 4, he, by a large part, has played a better series so far than Jason Tatum. Which now leads me to ask this question. Do you think it's an injury problem? Or do you think that first time being in the NBA Finals, the stage could be rather overwhelming? I think it's a very legitimate question and a thought to have. Because as times as people have said in the media, most notably, that Jason Tatum is a star, Jason Tatum never said that he himself was a superstar. But isn't it funny how he's talked about his rating in NBA 2K, how he was pissed off about not being named first-team All-NBA last season? I mean, wouldn't that kind of like put you in the upper echelon of superstars in this league of the NBA? It would, but at the same time, don't you think that performing at your best in the NBA Finals would help your case? I think it would. It's like in Major League Baseball, Alex Rodriguez was known to be the superstar in the sport, but he couldn't perform in October for years, prior to 2009. But when he finally broke through and performed in the biggest stage for the biggest franchise and the biggest market in all of sports in the world, the perception of Alex Rodriguez changed. Now, there are some of you out there that may say, well, are you really comparing A-Rod to Jason Tatum? Not necessarily, but the point is, you talk about superstars in sports. What do superstars do? Perform at the highest level and the biggest moments on the biggest stage. That's what Kobe Bryant did for years. That's what Michael Jordan did masterfully. That's what Shaquille O'Neal did. That's what Hakeem Olajuwon did. The superstars, the legends of the sport, they performed at their absolute best when the lights shine brightest. Jason Tatum, when the Celtics need him the most, is struggling. And to be fair to Jason Tatum, that's why I asked the question, is it physical? Is it mental? Because something's not right with him. And I'm all about fairness. I'm all about not jumping on a guy's throat and just saying, oh, this guy's an absolute bum. No, this is not what this is. What this is really asking a legitimate question as to what's wrong with Jason Tatum. Because offensively, he has not looked good in the NBA Finals so far. He has had one good game. That was game two. And that was in a losing effort for the Celtics. One good game and three really not so good or subpar games. Games one, games three, and game four, in which in the second half, he just faltered, just completely disappeared. I think at this point, it's got to be something physical. Maybe it's mental, but I think it's physical more than anything else. Because I'm sure we all remember the shoulder injury that he had. I'm sure we all remember how he was grimacing, holding his shoulder when he first injured it. Is that a factor in this series? I mean, if it is, he's sure doing a pretty good job of not letting it be known that it is bothering him. And I just wonder, at what point do you say to Jason Tatum, is either you step up or we're just going to diminish your minutes? Yes, I know, crazy. How could you dare talk about diminishing Tatum's minutes? This is the same head coach who basically benched Marcus Smart in game one. In game one, in the fourth quarter, when the Celtics make their improbable comeback on the road. You think that he can't or won't do something similar? It may not be the same thing, but something similar with Tatum? Don't kid yourself. This is the NBA Finals. This is about winning a championship, not coddling feelings. That's where we're at now. Because the harsh truth is that we need Jason Tatum at least 70% effective, 80% effective if he's banged up right now. You need him to really turn it around offensively. And I'm banking on that he is going to have a bounce back game in game five. Because if there's one thing that is a fact, he has done a tremendous job in bounce back games throughout this entire postseason so far leading into the finals. I expect game five to be no different. So, if it's physical, I give him credit for grinding his way through the same way that Robert Williams is grinding his way through a knee that is not 100% healthy right now and has been bothering him. But you need Jason Tatum to really step up into that superstar that he is expected to become. I don't think I'm throwing too much expectation on the man's shoulder, but I mean, it is something to think about. And if you are looking to call in, you can call in. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. As we are going to take another music break. And coming up next, I do want to take a break from the Celtics talk and touch on the Boston Red Sox. Because look out, here they come. I want to give you my thoughts on the Boston Red Sox so far as they are currently out west. About to wrap up a series against the Seattle Mariners today. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shippy Wright Show. This is Shippy Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio and globally on WMFO.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're John and Vince from the band Cake, and we're fast losing our hearing. And music is our only livelihood, so it really leaves us in a desperate and depressing situation. If we had worn earplugs, if we had been smart, we could have averted this. But now it's pretty much over.
So wear your earplugs, please.
ask, he's a smooth operator.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-9636 is the number to call in. As I'm here with you for another 12, 13 minutes, but basically here until 4 o'clock, here with you on this Sunday afternoon, and happy to be here with you. It's been a lot of Celtics talk the last 24 hours. I was here with you yesterday afternoon from 6 to 7 and back here with you today. The show started at 3 o'clock if you're just tuning in. Here with you until 4 o'clock. So it's been tremendous. Tomorrow we will be back at our regularly scheduled time at 5 p.m. until 7 o'clock. Well, until around 6 p.m. Eastern. And the only reason is because tomorrow night is Game 5 of the NBA Finals. In fact, I was invited to a very special event that I'm very much excited and thrilled and honored to be invited to at Hurricanes in Boston, right across from the Garden, for content creators, well-known Boston content creators in the city of Boston, and I was invited. So I have an obligation to actually go. That starts at 7, but I was given the instruction to arrive early, and which is understandable, so and whatnot, and I'm going to be there. So the show is going to end at 6, but I will be back in my regular slot tomorrow from 5 to 6 right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. But for right now, I'm here with you until 4. We're going to take a break from the Celtics and talk about the Red Sox, because the Red Sox, while all the focus of Boston and New England has been on the Boston Celtics and their championship aspirations during these NBA Finals, the Boston Red Sox, they've caught fire. And you got to give credit where credit's due, baby. and that is the fact that the Boston Red Sox have been playing some really good baseball and now currently find themselves in a player position, in a position in which that back in April, I wasn't even so sure they were going to be able to get there because of how dreadful they had started. And everything surrounding the team as it pertains to Xander Bogaerts, his contract extension, and the issues surrounding the offense, whether they were going to be able to like maybe start hitting and whatnot. But all of those all those questions have been answered. They have been hitting, and then some. And the Red Sox, at this moment in time, they are in a playoff spot. And you got to give them a lot of credit. They've been able to right the ship in terms of their wild card chances. They're still 12.5 games behind the New York Yankees, who are absolutely pummeling the Chicago Cubs when I last checked. They were up 10-3. And, I mean, that Yankee team right now is an absolute juggernaut. But as far as the Red Sox is concerned, in terms of the wild card, you really got to like their chances. You really do, because the Red Sox, it's amazing to think how they've got to where they are now, especially with the way that the season has started. I mean, right now, they are below 500 at home. And I'm sure that they're going to turn things around at Fenway Park, but they have done most of their damage on the road, and they've had a tremendous road trip so far. In Oakland, down in Anaheim, and now in Seattle against the Mariners. But if someone would ask me how much of a chance would I give the Red Sox to make the postseason, I'd give them a chance. I'd give them a fighter's chance, but Chaim Bloom has to do something in terms of that closer role, because it is absolutely amazing to me how the Boston Red Sox are contending right now in a playoff spot right now, yet the closer role and the bullpen has been responsible for why this team does not have a better record for what they truly should have. Again, you got to give credit where it's due. The Red Sox, they've battled back ever since Alex Cora shaved off his beard. And I know one of my good friends, Jared Carrabas, tweeted out saying, "Don't say it. Don't say it." How many more days can you say it if you're a Red Sox fan? 16 more days. Let's see where this Red Sox team is in 2 weeks. But as I said, you got to like the turnaround that they have made so far. And, I mean, Trevor Story has been tremendous. Rafael Devers right now is playing as if they're going to have to pay him. Because I have a very difficult time envisioning the Boston Red Sox refusing to pay Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. Because Devers' contract is going to be a hot-button topic on a bigger scale sooner rather than later. That's my point. Sooner rather than later, the conversations are going to intensify. Can we extend Rafael Devers? And we're not talking about giving him a Tampa Bay market contract value deal long term. No. Like, back up the truck. Devers has proven that he's one of the best offensive third basemen in baseball. But that's another topic and another conversation for another day. But as far as the Boston Red Sox is concerned, it's pretty damn amazing to see how the Red Sox have really done a tremendous job bouncing back from their early season woes and really picking up offensively. They had 3 more homers last night, although they lost. But again, another bullpen loss. But offensively, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm no longer worried about the offense with this team. Like, and Carrabas really told it best to me recently that he said, offensively, I've never been truly worried. It was really a matter of when were they going to be able to start picking it up offensively. The pitching wasn't the problem. The starting pitching it's done its job so far. But they need help in the bullpen. That's really the biggest area of need for the Boston Red Sox right now. And speaking of the Red Sox, they're going for the series win. They got a game coming up in just a few minutes, a little bit after 4 o'clock Eastern, as Cutter Crawford is on the mound for his second career start in the rubber match against the Seattle Mariners. So if you have any thoughts on the Red Sox and where they currently are right now, give me a call, 855-915-WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, 855-915-9636 is the number to call. And I keep saying Touch Free Farm Radio after I say the numbers. Strange. Come on, Chew. Focus. Come on. I know it's Sunday, but goodness grief. So with all of that being said, I think it's truly amazing to see how the Red Sox have battled their way back into wildcard contention, because they're not winning the division. They're not going to compete for the division. That Yankee team is too good, too deep, and honestly, their best bet is the wild card. I mean, it just is. But let's go a little deeper than that, because there was an article that was written by Mike Lupica. And there's an article that was published yesterday, and I think it's interesting that we have an opportunity to talk about some of the things that have transpired with the Boston Red Sox over the last few weeks. And manager Alex Cora, in an interview, in a clip that was posted on MLB.com, I want to play for you. There's a two-minute clip, so I want to play that clip for you right here, right now. So here we go.
Working with his timing, and we keep talking about being on time. That's the most important thing. And controlling the strike zone, he got a pitch that just hung in there, you know, and put a good swing on it. And that's what we're looking for. And I know the Frenchie's playing well. He's going to keep playing against righties. But, you know, having everybody contribute, that's huge for us, you know. And whenever he has a chance, just do your part, you know. And little by little, you can see that he's making strides. He's been on time on pitches, dominating the strike zone. And when he does that, he becomes very dangerous. Obviously, we faced him before. We know what he does, right? And he just hung a slider, you know, and then he hit ref. And, you know, that was impressive, right? He didn't even flinch. But, and then Rafi, kind of like he was a slide step, put him on time. We put the ball in play, his first and third, and JD put the ball in play, and we scored another one. So we faced him twice or three times already, and we've done pretty good against him, right? But, you know, it's just, that's one-on-one, 100, you know, with that slider. But, We dominated the strike zone, and we scored runs against him. Late in the game, I think the stuff, you know, you see it. It's the sinker and the four-seamer and the slider. And I'm not saying he's going to close, you know. We closed with Stromy before, but we had all those switch hitters in the eighth, and then, you know, that was the way we drew it up, you know.
At the beginning of the clip, he was talking about Franchi Cordero. I mean, he's gotten better, and when he got called up, and it was clear that he was really due to really show what he could do at the big league level, because last major league stint, he did not perform well. He took his time down in Worcester and really refined some of the mechanical flaws that he had in his hitting, and he's been a big and important factor for this Boston Red Sox team that's made a really tremendous turnaround. And you see, baseball is such a long season. It really is. And even though the Yankee fan in me was ready to bury the Red Sox dead a little while back, but now, from a pure baseball standpoint, throwing my fanhood out of the window, baseball is such a long season. That's one of the beauties of this sport. And there's something that Mike Lupica really touched on really well. He said in his column, quote, "One of the endearing beauties of baseball remains the long season and how quickly and how much things can change. And how, above all, a bad start or even a bad half season doesn't mean a team can't play its way out of things. We can always talk about how there's no clock in baseball until a pitch clock comes along anyway. But there is always time to get things right. The last World Series champ, the Braves, last year, were 44-45 last summer. Hadn't spent a day above 500 up until that point. 3 years ago, the Nationals were 19-31 after 50 games, ended up winning it all." Unquote. Those are really tremendous examples of it's not how you start, but how you finish. And based on reading that alone, that should give Red Sox fans reason for optimism, reason for hope as to, hey, maybe this turnaround isn't a fluke after all. But again, we will see. But I also will say this as well. It will depend on what the Red Sox do at the trade deadline in early August. And I'm serious. Because if there is a major flaw to be had with this Boston Red Sox team, it is a fact that they cannot close out games. Their bullpen is costing them games, and if Heimblum does not address that need come the trade deadline, this team is going to be cooked come October, because they have the pitching, and they sure as heck have the offense. But we shall see what happens. You know, a lot can change between the beginning of August and when the season ends in early October. We got only maybe about another moment left, so we're going to start wrapping up the show now. As I mentioned, I am going to be back in the regular slot of time tomorrow. We're going to be previewing Game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow afternoon live at 5 o'clock. The show will be only 1 hour from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, 91.5 FM WMFO. Due to the fact that I have an engagement to attend prior to Game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night, so I will not be doing the full 2 hours, but I will be back on again possibly Tuesday if things go well during the afternoon. But follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. That's where you can follow me for the latest update surrounding the Shukri Writes Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. For now, on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, I gotta say thank you to all of you who have tuned in. Coming up next at 4 o'clock, Hot Tub Tapes is coming up next with Julia Berneker, who is going to be taking over this seat at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So stick around for that. This is Shukri Wright saying peace out. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Me From Radio. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Peace out. You're